I believe all fear has the root in the fear of death. And the fear of death is the fear of judgment. John is saying, when we come to know that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and our sin is removed, it takes that primal fear out of us. We know we're not going to be judged.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we're continuing the series called Important Distinctions. This is the fourth chapter on our study of the book of 1 John. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
If you were to ask me what I believe the church's greatest need is, I would say first, to walk in love. And second, I would say discernment. The church is suffering from a deficit in discernment, which really comes from not knowing our Bible. In the Apostle John's first epistle, he begins chapter 4 with a call to believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. This is a call to discernment. From there, John makes important distinctions between a spirit of Antichrist and the true Holy Spirit, how to know if something is from God or from the enemy. He also has strong words on his favorite topic, love. So let's jump right in as I share part 2 from 1 John chapter 4. People claiming to be Christian but living a homosexual lifestyle, and they've written whole books on it, became bestsellers, have been on all the talk shows. And if you don't know your Bible, you're going to be pulled into that. See, look, I'm hugging my Bible tight. Every once in a while, I give it a big kiss. Mwah! I kiss a Bible page. When it reaches out and blesses me, I can't help it. I kiss that Bible page. You say, that's weird, Pastor Jeff. Not near as weird as what people are out there doing otherwise. Everybody else coming out of the closet, we might as well too. I don't mind kissing the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I don't do it very often. Don't go around. My pastor kisses his Bible all the time. No, it's pretty rare. But when I get really touched, oh yeah. All right. Or that some of the things God condemns aren't really sinful. We just talked about that. Or listen, the false teachers of our day misrepresent true Christian living. What it really means to live a Christian life. You will never hear these false teachers talk about discipleship, the cost of following Jesus, crucifying your flesh, you almost never hear. Hardship, being in the will of God, persecution, some of the tougher things you'll experience as a believer. You don't hear any of that. You just hear God wants to bless you here, there, and everywhere. God's a big bless me machine in the sky. You give only out of a slot machine mentality. If I give, God will give back to me. When we ought to give, no matter if God gives back to us anything or not. So the only way to try the spirits is to hold their teaching up to the Word of God. If it's sound doctrine, you're going to know it by the Word of God. If it's not sound, the Bible's not going to support their message. So the bottom line, I want everybody to read what I have in all caps there. Read it out loud with me, please, everybody. Know the Word of God like the back of your hand. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on. Now, next, John tells yet another way to mark or to recognize those preaching a false message. And he begins with a word of encouragement. He says, you are of God, little children. Isn't that great to hear? You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Who's the them? The false teachers. Because he who is in you is greater. Don't you love this verse? He who is in you, let's read it together. He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Isn't that true? And that's talking about the Spirit of God in you. Now, the Spirit of God living in you is greater than any false spirit trying to lure you away from Christ. And then he says in verse 5, they, that is the false teachers, are of the world. Now, watch this. This is great. This is insightful. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And who hears them? The world. We, on the other hand, are of God. He who knows God hears who? See, now, you're hearing me tonight, if you're a believer, and you're soaking up the Word of God and you're loving it. But if there were some people in here that were lost, you know what? They'd be perplexed about a lot of the things that I'm saying. And they would probably already be mad a little bit about some of the things I've said. Because if you're ministering the Word of God, watch this, the world doesn't hear you. Amen. They don't accept it. Amen. They don't understand it. By this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By what? People who are energized by a false, deceptive spirit are of and from the world. They are not of or from God. And because they are of the world hears and receives their message, applauds them. When they're of the world, teaching a false doctrine, the world that's living in deceit, under the lie of the devil. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So that if you stand up and you're a false teacher, the world's going to receive you, applaud you. That's why these New Age books are flying off the shelves. And because they're of the world hears and receives their message. This is why Jesus warned, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." Listen to the Living Bible. What sadness is ahead for those praised by the crowds? That means praised by the world. For false prophets have always been praised by the world. When I see somebody claiming to be a Christian preacher or teacher being celebrated and received by the world, if all the talk shows love them, if all the media personalities love them, if the news media loves them, showers love on them, protects them from criticism, I know they are not teaching the Word of God. I know it. See, I wonder about the content of their message. When I see the media personalities that ABC, CBS, NBC, can I name some names? MSNBC, CNN, more and more Fox. When I see them applauding somebody, I know I'm not going to agree with that person. Because they perpetuate the world's message. They are of the world, and when they speak to the world receives them, because the world resonates with the world. But if I'm a gospel preacher, a real one, and I'm saying Jesus is the only way, the Word of God is the inerrant Word of God, the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, I believe it is absolute truth. If I say, you're not going to go to heaven unless you go by Christ, if I say things like that, let me tell you who's not going to accept me for 5 minutes. I'm never going to get applause from ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, more and more Fox, most newspapers. They're not going to amen me because the world doesn't hear me. Are you there? Are you there? Come on. Say, well, Jeff, that just sounds hard to me. Well, no harder than Jesus. Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, listen, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I've chosen you, where, everybody? Out of the world. And what does he say next? That is why the world hates you. So if I'm staying true to the Word of God, let me tell you who's not going to applaud me. Amen. That world out there. Amen. But false teachers who say they're Christians, but they got a false message, world loves them. Oh, yeah, come on, be on my show. Let me interview you. Push your books. So John says that not only will the true believer reject false teachers, but false teachers will reject true believers. Now, John spends the rest of chapter 4 on his favorite topic, love. Everybody say love. Now, I'm not going to the Beatles, but let's say it. All you need is love. That's the one true thing they said. And it's kind of true, not true, because they didn't mean the Jesus kind of love. But if you're a believer, you're called to love. Now, look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. He who does not love doesn't know God. For God is love. Notice he doesn't just love. His character, his essence is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten. How did he show us that he loved us? He sent his only begotten son into the world. That's how his love was manifested to us. He sent his only begotten son into the world. Why? So that we could live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, if he loved us enough to give his son, then we can at least love one another. Because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So while we were living in sin and cursing God, Jesus loved us enough to die for us. So the idea is this. Now, if we love one another, John contends it's a mark of true salvation. You're surely, he says, born of God, and you know God, if you walk in love. Conversely, John contends that if you have no love for others, you don't know God as you ought. Now, you got to be careful with the language here. And here's where it's good to go into a little bit of Greek. And I'm not going to carry you into Greek, but I'm going to tell you what the Greek says. Because if you're not careful, John can make you feel condemned. Because how many of you can say, well, I love people, but hey, I come real short of the mark sometimes. Come on, look at me so holy. How many of you wish you loved more? And how many got somebody in your life you find it hard to even like, much less? Come on. Oh, all the hands went up right there. So it's easy to read this and get condemned, right? You understand? You know, if I don't understand the language, I'm going, wow, he who doesn't love does not know God? Well, there's a lot of times I don't love perfectly. I fall short. I struggle. Some people make it hard to love them, right? Keep staring right up at me. Don't look at your spouse. Look at me. No, it's so easy to love Cindy. And she would say, it's easy most of the time to love Jeff. No, no. Now watch. But isn't it easy to be condemned reading that? Because we go, uh-oh, well, I'm falling short, so am I saved? But here's the idea. Love is a process. Spiritual growth is a process. Salvation happens instantly. But spiritual maturity is a lifelong process. We grow in love. We grow in patience. We grow in peace. We grow in our ability to crucify the flesh. We grow in our ability. We grow in freedom. I'm freer tonight than I was probably 10 years ago. Freedom is a process. Okay? So love is a process. So he's not saying if you don't love everybody perfectly, you're probably not saved. That's not what he's saying. And I think there's another idea here too. You might know other things about God, his holiness, his righteousness. You might have a real good grip on his judgment. You might really understand his sovereignty. He's in charge of all things. But you don't really have a lot of knowledge about God's love. You haven't experienced his love. And you know what? A lot of people go through this. There's a lot of people raised in really strict religious homes, for instance, full of rules and regulations. And people that emerge from homes like that, always beating or coming down on you in the name of God, you know what God requires regarding clean living. You know what he requires regarding obedience to parents and things like that. But you've never experienced the beauty of God's mercy and his love. You emerge from homes like that with your toolkit, your spiritual toolkit is lacking. You got the judgment down, you got the right living down, but you've never really been introduced to his love, just strict religion. And I think you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what hasn't been put in you. How many of you know that's true? You can't give love if it's not there. You can't give mercy if it's not here. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give Jesus to somebody if you don't have him yourself. Okay? It's got to be put in you before you can give it.
And I think John is saying, if you don't love others, you have not come to know God's love yourself like you should. So we need a real good baptism in the love of God. Paul said, it's the very love of God that constrains us, that drives us, that we're all about. It's his love. I can tell you, it was the love of the Holy Ghost being poured out in my heart that changed me. I believe this, the more we learn about God, the more we're going to be like God. That's why it's so good to know the Word of God. Why I always harp on it all the time. Because you read that Bible, what does it say? When we see him, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. And Paul said in Corinthians, he said, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, always beholding the glory of the Lord. And where? In the Word. So as you behold his glory in the Word, you're changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Boy, this is good stuff. I should have been doing this on Sunday. Okay? No one, verse 12, has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us, what everyone? His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now, there's another proof. You can't say with all of your being, he's the Son of God and not be saved. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So here, John's talking about seeing God through his love. We have never seen him with our eyes, but how do we know God? How do we see God? Through his love. We see God through his love. Paul wrote, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus said, God is spirit. But though he is invisible, we know him, we see him through his love. The mark and the evidence of his presence is his love within us and our love towards others. We can't see him with our eyes, but how do we see him? His love. And how do others see him in us? His love. This is how we know we abide in him, because he has given us his Spirit, and his Spirit pours out his love in us. Listen to what Paul said. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So when we met his love. We didn't see God, but we saw him through his love. How do we experience his love? The Holy Spirit was poured out in our hearts. And that's where the love came in. And that is what changed Jeff Wickwire's life, I can tell you. The love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I got hooked fast. I love the love of God. Amen? I love the love of God. The Amplified puts it this way, we've come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in God, and God abides continually in him. So though God is invisible, everybody, we see him and know him through the love he has poured out on us. Amen? Jesus said, God so loved the world. He said, gave his only begotten Son. So God's act of sending Jesus to die for us was an act of pure love from start to finish. So we know God through love. We see God through love. And third, John talks about the consummation of God's love. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that good? Amen. Perfect love, God's love, chases fear out, because fear involves torment. If you're full of fear, you're tormented. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him. Why, everybody? Because he first loved us. Now, once we experience God's love through Jesus Christ, here's where John's going with this. The fear of coming judgment for sin is removed from us. I have a theory. I can't prove it. I'm not a psychologist, but here's my theory. I believe all fear, you name the fear, I don't care what it is, phobia, fear, you name it. I believe all fear has the root in the fear of death. And the fear of death is the fear of judgment. What's happening after I die? John is saying, when we come to know that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and our sin is removed, it takes that primal fear out of us. We know we're not going to be judged. Okay? It takes that primal fear out. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear of judgment involves torment. I remember reading about the 18th century Enlightenment atheist named Voltaire. Voltaire was a brilliant man, brilliant writer. He ruled Europe during the mid to late 1700s as a philosopher, as an atheist, skeptic, very powerful words. And he mocked Christians. He mocked the Bible. He predicted Christianity would be extinct within a certain amount of time. But I read of his death. I read of the terrors of his death and how in the middle of the night he shrieked in terror as he was dying. Why? Fear of judgment. That's the primal fear from which all other fears spring. And that's how he died. But see, if he had come to Christ, he had had none of that fear. Because perfect love casts out the fear of judgment. And who has perfect love? Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus sets free, quote, those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Why were they afraid of dying? Because there are guilt over sin and its eternal consequences. But God's love has removed all of that through Jesus Christ. And John reminds us who made the first overture in our relationship with God through Christ. He said, we love him because he first loved us. God romanced you. You didn't romance God. God romanced you. He asked you out on the first date. Amen? Aren't you glad you dated him? And then aren't you glad you married him? Amen. All right, we're coming to a close. So we know God through love. We see God through love. We have the consummation of God's love. And finally, he ends chapter 4 by talking about the obedience of love. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother who he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So notice, it's a commandment, not a suggestion, that we walk in love. Jesus gave only one commandment. Moses gave 10, Jesus gave one. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's the end of chapter 4.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. 3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
We walk by faith and not by sight. By faith in our Savior, every single day we get up and we place our eyes on Him. We daily lay hold of the promises of God to make them our own. We daily crucify the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And all by faith, we overcome this present world. John wants us to know you're not alone. He is with you. And the reason you feel isolated is because you're in this world, but you're not of this world. He's called you out.
That's 1 John chapter 5. Here on this brand new Bible study series called Important Distinctions. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.